Whatever you have, you have your Bible, you have your iPad, you have your iPhone, I want you to stand. Stand with your copy of God's Word. If you don't have any of that, they'll be on the screen. You can follow right along with the scriptures on the screen. This is what the Bible says in Isaiah, which was written 700 years before Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Let's read it again. "But they," that's us, "that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Folks, we're getting ready to go into the most celebrated time of the year. Did you know that July the 4th is actually the holiday that Americans celebrate? It's the fourth most celebrated holiday. Thanksgiving is the third most holiday celebration with Americans. Number two, it might surprise you, but it's Halloween. And the most celebrated holiday, which we know it's not a holiday, it's a holy day, is Christmas. 95% of Americans celebrate Christmas. And this is what I wondered. If Christmas is about the birth of the Prince of Peace, why do we experience so much stress? If Christmas is about the birth of the Prince of Peace, why do we experience so much stress? Marie was 90 years of age, and she decided she no longer wanted the stress of Christmas shopping. So she would just send checks to her best friends and family members. Since she wanted her loved ones to buy their own gifts before Christmas, she worked to get everything in the mail early. She wrote out a Christmas card, and then at the bottom of the card, she wrote this: "Buy your own present. Merry Christmas." She finished all the cards, tucked them to the post office, and thought to herself, "Now I can avoid the stress of Christmas." After Christmas, she was cleaning out her desk and getting rid of some of the clutter. And all of a sudden, under a pile of papers, she found all the checks she had forgot to enclose. So she just sent out cards that said, "Buy your own present. Merry Christmas." Well, as Christmas approaches, it's a joyful time. But do you realize that 45% of Americans said we wish we could just skip Christmas? 45% of Americans said we just wish we could skip it. Literally, from those who suffer from depression, 57% said that the holiday only makes things worse. I don't know if you're aware of it, but more people commit suicide during the Christmas season than any other time of the year. If Christmas is about the birth of the Prince of Peace, why do we have so much stress? Well, I think there's six reasons why we have so much stress. Number one is the absence of a beloved person. See, a lot of families this year will celebrate their first Christmas without somebody around the family table. It'll be the first Christmas, perhaps without a husband, or perhaps without a mate, perhaps without a mom, perhaps without a dad, perhaps without a child, perhaps without a good friend. But there'll be the absence of a beloved person. And so Christmas is going to be different this year. There's a second reason why people have stress at Christmas, and it's Family misunderstandings. Family misunderstandings. You know the difference in in-laws and outlaws? Outlaws are wanted. Some of you are slow, but you're worth waiting for. I love what the great theologian George Burns said. George Burns said, happiness is having a large, loving, caring, close-knit family in another state. Family misunderstandings. And it's a time that we come together and every family's got a strange uncle. Some of you are thinking about them right now. And then, folks, there are economic difficulties. Economic difficulties. I'm totally convinced that Jesus never meant for his birthday to cause economic problems on people. He never meant for it to cause a financial strain on people. But yet in December, we've got jingle bells, but then January comes and we're trying to juggle bills. Yes, I think Dr. James Dobson said it best. James Dobson said, we're trying so hard to give our children what we didn't have, we're not giving them what we did have. Let me tell you, if there was a Bennyism 2, I'm going to put this in Bennyism 2. The most difficult thing to do for your children is to not do for your children. The most difficult thing to do for your children is to not do for your children. See, folks, we want to build character in them, but we want to give them everything they want, and it's an oxymoron. You just can't do that. Number 4, physical tiredness. Such a short time, and there's so many things we got to do and so many places we got to go, and there's so much required of us. We're just physically drained, because if the devil can't make us bad, he'll make us busy. And then number 5, there's loneliness. Loneliness. Some people simply have nobody to celebrate Christmas with. Number 6 is seasonal emotional disturbance. That is to say, the winter comes. The days are shorter. The cold weather takes part. And many times we become discouraged and we become stressed because of it. Well, see, if Christmas is about the Prince of Peace coming, why do we have so much stress? I want you to see 3 quick things. The first thing I want you to see is the problem of stress. The problem of stress. Now what is stress, Pastor? Well, this is what stress is. It's the gap between the demands placed on us and our ability to meet those demands. It's the gap between the pressure, the demands that's placed on us, and our ability to meet those demands. You know what's interesting, folks? It affects all of us. You know, when you think about stress, certainly you think about senior adults, and certainly when you think about stress, you think about middle-aged people. But according to the text, look what it says in verse 30. It says, even the youths shall faint and be weary. And young men shall utterly fall. It talked about the stress that young people have. It talked about the stress and the peer pressure, the pressure of drugs, the pressure of alcohol. I read this week that Americans are more stressed right now than they've ever been. 85% of Americans are losing sleep over money matters. Millennials, 75% of millennials are stressed over their ability to pay student loans, because college students are $1.4 trillion in debt to student loans. 35% of children suffer from stress-related health problems. Even young men, even youth, the scripture says. One of my dear friends was a man by the name of Truett Cathy. A few years ago, Truett went home to be with the Lord, the founder of Chick-fil-A. Truett taught the fifth grade boys at his church. And Truett said, I would always ask those fifth grade boys, if you could have anything, what would you like to have? And he said, Pastor Benny, the number one answer was always the same. We wish the fussing would stop in our home. We wish the fussing, Mr. Truett, would stop in our home. See, there's the problem of stress. Folks, nobody's exempt. Nobody's exempt. It affects senior adults. It affects middle-aged people. It affects young people. Stress affects us all. But if Christmas is about the Prince of Peace, why does it seem to bring more stress? Number two, the pressure of stress. Now, I'm not a medical doctor. I'm a practitioner of the Word of God. But Dr. Thomas Holmes at the University of Washington deeply studied human stress. And he measured it in life-changing units. This is what he said. He said, if a person within 1 year experienced 300 units, they'll have a breakdown. And then he put in categories. He itemized numbers that represent units and the problems of life. He said the death of a spouse is 100 units. He said a divorce is 73 units. He said pregnancies, 40 units. He said the change in employment is 50 units. He said to remodel a house or to move is 25 units. He doesn't know what he's talking about. But here's what he said. In a year's time, if you have 300 units of stress, the body cannot withstand it, and there will be a breakdown. Because, see, stress literally, because of stress, it affects all aspects of life. It affects and causes physical problems. Do you realize, I'm not a doctor. I am, but not that kind of doctor. But 2/3 of doctor's visits are stress related. You don't get ulcers from what you eat. You get ulcers from what's eating you. It causes physical problems. But I want you to know something. Stress causes psychological problems. What I'm trying to say, it affects your thinking. You say, why didn't I remember that? Because you're under so much stress. Why didn't I do that? You're under so much stress. Why did I make that decision? Why did I make that decision? You say, Pastor Benny, I would never have made that decision. Let me tell you something, folks. Under the right amount of pressure, under the right amount of stress, never underestimate what you'll do. Sometimes when somebody makes a decision, you say, what were you thinking? And they say, oh, I wasn't, because we never know what we'll do under the right amount of pressure. So there's physical problems, there's psychological problems, but then there's practical problems. And what I mean by practical problems, you get under stress, it'll destroy relationships with your coworker. It'll destroy relationships with your friends. It'll destroy relationships with your children. It'll destroy a relationship with your mate. The right amount of pressure, the right amount of stress. See, I see the problem of stress. I see the pressure of stress, but I wanted to get here so bad. I see the provision for stress. The provision. See, folks, Isaiah 40:31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew. You know what that word renew means? It means to exchange. Like you go to the store and you exchange something. See, the Christian life is not just about a changed life. It's about an exchanged life. It's about exchanging your strength for His strength, because His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. Now, I want you to see three things. First of all, I want you to see there is serving power. Notice what it says. It says, but they that wait upon the Lord. But they that wait. There's a verse I want you to look at. It's in Psalms 27 and 4 that I think helps explain this verse. Look what it says. It says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, you got to understand, when the scripture says, wait upon the Lord, get this. That's not a passive term, that's an active term. When the Bible says, wait upon the Lord, it's like when you walk into a store and somebody, hey, I got one better than that, I don't know about a store, but it's like when you walk onto a car lot. It's like when you walk onto a car lot and immediately somebody's on you like white on rice. Amen? They're on you like white on rice. And literally, they're saying, how can I wait on you? It's like when you go to a restaurant. See, folks, when the Bible says, but they that wait upon the Lord, get this. It's not talking about this. No. It's talking about this. But they that wait upon the Lord. It's talking about pursuing God. It's talking about, I'm the waiter, but I'm not interested in this table over here, and I'm not interested in that table over there. I'm just interested in this table. I'm just interested in waiting on you. There's a message this Christmas, and the message is, don't get preoccupied over here. Don't get preoccupied over there. Just keep your mind on serving the Lord. Just keep your mind on waiting on the Lord. God, I just want to pursue you this Christmas. I just want to serve you this Christmas. See, folks, I think sometimes we miss it. Mary and Joseph come, and they say, we need a place, and we make the innkeeper a guy who says, there's no room in the inn. I don't think he was that kind of guy. I think he was a guy who said, the inn's full. But there's a place out back. There's a stable out back. Now, here's what I want you to see. He gave him a place, but he didn't give him the place. And if we're not awful careful in our relationship with the Lord, we'll give him a place, but he don't want a place. He wants the place. He wants the place. They're serving power. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I love what Vance Havner said. He said, there is no work that is more likely to crowd out your quiet time than the very work that draws its strength from your quiet time. How do we handle stress? There's serving power. When you're in a stressful situation, you focus on just serving God. You focus on pursuing God. You focus on, when I'm talking about just being with God. But let me tell you something else. Not only is there serving power, but there's soaring power. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. See, let me tell you something. The eagle is the only bird that's not scared of a storm. Because what an eagle does, when they sense a storm is coming, they get in a high tree. And when the storm comes, an eagle gets above the wind, and it uses the wind as a thermal underdraft. An eagle normally flies at 50 miles per hour, but during a storm, that eagle will fly at 100 miles per hour because that wind is an underdraft, and that wind is strength beneath the eagle's wings. I want you to understand the word for spirit in the Hebrew and in the Greek is wind. Wind. Samuel Chadwick said, the Christian life is impossible without the Holy Spirit. The Christian life is impossible without the Holy Spirit. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, more than anything, we need a fresh touch. We need a fresh feeling. We need a wind from elsewhere. We need a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit more than anything else. Want to make a difference in your marriage, sir? Want to make a difference in your marriage, ma'am? Is that the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. There was a young girl. Literally asked Peter, do you know him? I don't know him. Literally intimidated by a little old 15-year-old damsel. But the Holy Spirit comes on Pentecost, and he looks to the most powerful court in Israel, and he says, Jesus is the Christ. There is none like him. You crucified the Holy One. What made the difference? The power of the Holy Spirit is what made the difference. See, folks, that eagle is the bird of all birds. That eagle is mentioned 32 times in the Word of God. According to Revelation chapter 4, verse 7, when we get to heaven, there'll be an eagle flying around the throne of God. Let me tell you something you may not know about an eagle. Every eagle goes through a period in its life which is called the moping period. That eagle goes through a discouraging time because calcium builds up on that eagle's beak. And that eagle's feathers begin to become old and withered. And that eagle doesn't soar anymore. And that eagle will go to a valley. Some will die in the valley, and some will live in the valley. But while that eagle's going through a low time, other eagles will fly over, and they'll honk. And they're saying to that eagle, don't you die down there. Don't you die down there. You can soar again. And those eagles will fly over. I want you to understand something. From the day that an eagle is born to the day an eagle dies, they're a meat eater. They only eat meat. And folks, we'd be a lot better off if we'd feed on the meat of the Word of God rather than all the crud and corruption that Hollywood's pumping into our homes. We'd be a lot better off if we'd feed on God's Word. We'd be a lot better off if we'd get in the faith book and get off Facebook and get in the Word of God. We'd be a lot better off. That eagle, it's a meat eater. So those eagles will fly over and they'll drop fresh pieces of squirrel. They'll drop fresh pieces of rabbit. They'll drop that meat down to that eagle. They'll say, don't you die down there. Don't you die down there. We want to help you soar again. Oh, I wish the church could realize when somebody's gone through a hard time, they've gone through a divorce, they've gone through a failure, they've gone through a hurt, they've gone through an addiction. I wish we dropped some fresh meat and say, God still got a plan for you. God still got a purpose for you. It's not over. God still loves you. You can begin again. Oh, I wish the church would realize that. But we've become a sacred sorority for snubbing sinners. And when people are down the lowest, that's when they need us the most. Amen, Benny. Good preaching. That's when they need us the most. And tell you something about that old eagle. When he's down, he goes to a rock. Because every eagle's got a rock. I'm glad that he's lifted me to that rock that's higher than I am. Every eagle goes to that rock, and it'd be bloody for you to look at. But that eagle will go to that rock, and he'll start pulling those feathers out. He'll start pulling those feathers out of his body. That old eagle will go to that rock, and he'll take that beak, and he'll beat that beak against that rock till it's totally almost bare. And he'll stay on that rock, and he'll stay till those feathers start growing back, and that beak comes back, And that old eagle that was down, he'll soar again. He'll soar again. Let me tell you something. You may be down, but I want you to know there's soaring power. There's power through the Holy Spirit. You may be down. You say, oh, Pastor, I've been abandoned. I've been forsaken. Brother Benny, you don't know how wrong I've done, been done. I want you to know you may have had a great injustice in your life, but I want to report to you, just like that eagle, you can soar again. Oh, what's happened to you doesn't have to determine your destiny. God still got a plan for your life. God still got a purpose. If you fall down, pick up something while you're down there. God still got a purpose. Oh, I want you to know something. There's a provision for you. If it wasn't for my Methodist dignity, I'd shout this morning. I'm excited about this. I'm excited about what the Lord's done. Oh, let me tell you something. There's not only serving power, there's not only soaring power, but let me tell you something. There's staying power. Philippians 1 and 6, I wish I'd put it in your notes. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. Oh, he's Alpha and Omega. Amen. Wait, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. You say, Pastor, how's God work? Does he show me? Does he show me 5 years in advance? No. Psalms 109 verse 105 says this. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. I'm not real smart. I'm some dumb, not plumb dumb. But let me tell you, you can't see far with the lamp. It gives a little light, and you walk in what light you have, and then it gives you a little light more. You say, but Brother Manny, you don't. If you knew what happened to me this year, I'm walking through hell. What do you recommend? Just keep on walking. Just keep on walking. You know, you hear these preachers, these name it, claim it, all this bunch of baloney. You hear them say, when one door closes, another one opens. It does, but not always immediately. Not always immediately. So she walked out, Pastor Benny. Is everything better the next day? Not always immediately. See, when one door closes, another one opens. Another door opens. But girls, you listen to me. Sometimes it's hell in the hallway. Yeah, that's where we live. What do? Just keep on walking. God's going to see us through, folks. Lord, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, Lord, but my eyes are upon you. Nobody knew I was going to do this. I didn't know for sure I was going to do it, but I decided I was going to do it. Brother Hogan, come. Brother Hogan's going to come. Terry, I want you and Scott to come. Come. Yeah, you come. Just come here. Amber's going to come. Stand right here. Stand right here. Goodness, I wish I hadn't chose somebody with a Georgia shirt. There's a scripture. Psalms 139 and 5. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thy hand upon me. Now, I asked you to come because I saw you. Just a few months ago, we buried your precious wife. How old was she? 33. She was 33. I remember that. I remember preaching her funeral. I know this is a difficult time for you. Scott, come here. You know what the scripture says? Stand right here, Scott, and look that way. It says that God's before you. Wait. Terry, you stand right behind me. It says Jesus is behind you. God's before him. Jesus is behind him. Now, you've asked Christ to come into your heart. Romans 8:9 says, but you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be the spirit of God dwelleth in you. So as you're walking this Christmas, God's in front of you. Jesus is behind you. The Holy Spirit's inside of you. Well, no, it just gets tweeter and tweeter. And before long, it's going to turn to tugger. No. That's not the end. Psalms 34:7 says this. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. Okay, Amber. This is what angels are doing. This is what angels are doing. Literally, God is before us. Jesus is behind us. The Holy Spirit is inside us. And angels are circling all around us. And angels are circling. And angels are circling. Oh, folks, we can do better than that. We can do better than that. We can do better than that. Oh, yes, folks. Oh, yes. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Let's give it up for him one more time. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Folks, let me tell you something. With so much stress, we can have peace as you're seated because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. As they're seated, let them know how much we appreciate them.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.